Today on Talk About That, I go pants shopping in Mexico and ponder the real reason women like tall men. Meanwhile, John refuses to moisturize and eats key lime pie in bed. Plus a conversation about secondhand embarrassment, shame, and babies in restaurants. Today's episode is not sponsored by Panera Bread. Where else can you get a grilled cheese sandwich and a cup of soup for only $15? It's go time.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
It's the podcast to end all podcasts. Let's talk about that. John here with Johnny.
I don't like the sound of that.
It's a pretty ominous intro.
It's too dark. Yeah. Is that the war to end all wars? Isn't that what people used to say?
Yeah, and which war was that?
World War One.
That is correct. But did they call it World War One?
No, they didn't know there was going to be sequels.
See, because that's a really pessimistic thing to do. Like, look, we're going to call this World War One while you're in it. Like,
it'd have been weirder to call it like Star Wars did, Episode 4. Like, you start with Episode 4.
We know there's going to be
We know there have been prequels.
Right.
Yeah. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
You get to see Hitler as a boy.
Oh. You don't want
to get to see how he became Darth Vader.
And what did they call it, though, then?
The Great War?
Oh, that's correct.
I only know that probably because of hanging out with you, John. Wow. You've broadened my horizons, you know, and all of our horizons.
You know what that tells me?
What?
The educational system failed you.
Oh, we knew that. We knew that.
I'm kidding. Thank you for the compliment. I may have known. You know a lot of stuff.
Okay, hold on. What started World War One? Wasn't there an assassination?
Yes.
Of some Archduke.
Archduke Ferdinand.
Yep. And he was shot in traffic somewhere, right? Yep. Wasn't he like in his carriage? Was he in a car?
He was in a car.
Okay, early car.
It might have been a car. It's a great question.
Yeah, it's 1905.
That would have been. I don't know if he was assassinated in 13. The war was 14 to 18.
Well, cars were not very common at all then, right? We don't know when the first. We need researchers, but no, yeah, Archduke Ferdinand shot in his whatever.
Yeah, he's Austrian, if I remember correctly. And the deal was with that war, and that's why you see so much talk about it today, it was about what George Washington would have called entangling alliances. So the global alliances then, because they had assassinated, you know, one country's leader, then the
right.
other
You've
country's
You've got to choose sides
right,
now.
You have to now because you're already in a treaty or an alliance.
Yeah.
Come to the aid of your allies. So suddenly all the world, basically in Europe, had all these alliances and suddenly they're all fighting each other. So I mean, that's a gross oversimplification of the causes of World War One, but yes.
Well, that's what we do.
We grossly oversimplify.
We boil it right down. speaking of boiling things down, I had a moment the other day, and I don't know if I'm the first person to ever think this, but I'm walking with my wife and I am I'm probably 14 inches taller than my wife.
Yeah,
I think she's 5'3", I'm 6'4", so yeah, I'm 13 inches taller than my wife. And I realize that she always gets the worst angle of me, and I always get the best angle of her. Like, when a woman takes a selfie, she holds the camera up here.
When a woman does, I think when all people do.
That's what I'm saying, like, people know this is the best angle. The bags in the eyes go away. All the things go away. You're not looking at my nose. Curry must think I'm a goblin. I think this is why. Listen, but here's the deal. She also knows what I look like for real. She's seen me in photos, so she knows it's not a real, it's a distorted image that she's getting.
But
so
she's able to put it's still more pleasant experience.
She's able to put the two together. Okay, this is not a monster, even though I may see him that way. And here's the best part for her. She knows that I always will see her at her best possible angle. I believe, John, this is why women do not like dating men shorter than them.
You think this is the reason?
I think it's narcissism. I believe they want us to be their little funhouse mirror selfie sticks, walking around, seeing them like little, you know, beautiful princesses that they are. And what happened, it's a distorted, like, I do not know what my wife really looks like, is what I'm saying.
I would like to.
And she doesn't know what I really look like. All she knows is, hey, Lurch, you got a booger. That's what she sees. She knows the worst parts.
I would like to speak on behalf of women everywhere against, number one, your gross misogyny, to say, I don't know if all women want to look like princesses and those kinds of things. I will agree,
though. You want to be seen in your best light, though. And I, as a gigantic person.
But how many lights could you possibly put on you, Johnny? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not going to get much better, but it's going to get me closer.
What needs to happen is
too attractive.
You need to start wearing like a mirror.
I need I need Curry to either get some platform shoes, or I need to find me a 7 foot tall woman and just move on. There, I said it. It probably wouldn't work out either, because then my personality would come out. You know, even like, if she's like, well, he's not bad looking. And then I would speak and she'd be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, this is. Yeah.
And I'd come running back to Curry.
I was going to say, the fact that, listen, I gave into the reality a long time ago.
Yeah.
That the fact that my wife says, I believe her, that she finds me attractive. This is nothing but a God thing. There has to be something going on in another realm in order for that to be.
Well, Albert Brooks used to have this theory that, and he said it, and there's a movie that he did called Defending Your Life. It's about the afterlife. But he talked about it. He's like in heaven or some purgatory in the movie, and this waiting area. And he's talking about his problems in his life. He's a very neurotic person. If you know Albert Brooks movies, that's his whole ethos is he's neurotic.
I saw this movie actually years ago.
He talks about you should only marry someone who is just attractive enough to turn you on, and that is it. Any extra attraction only causes problems. And then she goes, so what are you saying? He goes, my wife was way too attractive for me. Because his theory was like, if she's way too attractive, you get insecure. You think other people are going to take her from you because you're not attractive enough to be with this person. Yeah. Insecurity take. So he had all these theories about it. And obviously it's a joke, but there is something to the idea of like, if you're way too attractive, if you see something, there's a way imbalance in the relationship of attraction.
Yeah.
It can cause issues. Unless you're very, like, mentally whole and you just can deal with the fact that, like, look, I know that she's with me. Look, I make a lot of money. I'm very smart. Whatever it is that you think, like, put you over the top.
But what if you're with an attractive person?
Yeah.
And you also don't have all those other things? Like, the way I look matches the character and the potential and the ability and the capacity, all of it. What then?
Like, I don't know. And it's not getting
better. It's not rhetorical. Like, I
need
help.
It's not getting better either, because it's this or worse for the rest of our lives. Like, you don't get better.
It's not getting better.
I'm 40. Didn't you say you went to the foot doctor today, the dermatologist?
I went, well, not the podiatrist, but just a regular dermatologist. And because I had to have the second round of freezing on a plantar's wart on my heel.
Yeah. That's a very old sentence you just had. First of all, dermatology, I don't know if we talked about this, but dermatology, to me, I think of like, it's an old person thing. Like, hey, is this an irregular mole?
I had to ask her. I was like, okay? Hey, this thing just showed up.
The edges on this look weird, and I want to keep an eye on it. But really, dermatology, like, if you're a kid, the thing I think about is acne, but I don't have kids, so I don't know this, but I'm just trending this way and thinking, is acne better now? I remember kids being covered in acne when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And you just accepted it. And now I just see boys, they have these the clearest faces, most boys. And I'm thinking, what happened? What's going on?
I think
Did we fix acne?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have found, because, you know.
Glad if we did. I'm not mad if I had to go through. It's like the student loan thing. I had to pay off my student loans. Everybody else should be in debt forever, too. No. Yeah. It's like, listen, I had to have acne, but if you don't have to have acne, please don't have acne. It's awful. Yeah. Okay.
I will say this, too. The student loans they had to pay off are a lot more than the ones I had to pay.
That's true.
I didn't have student loans.
Yeah, and a house cost $5 or whatever.
Parents bought their house for, you know, $12,000 for real. No, I have found the middle schoolers, no, acne's not cured. I do think they have better treatments, and I think that the kids are cleaner than you were.
Just me in particular.
Just you. Yeah, I don't know about everybody else, but like they bathe daily.
Okay.
I know Sadie is like...
They're bathing daily now.
Like, she knows products better than most adults. Like, she understands skincare in a way. Like, I don't think the idea of skincare for me as a teenager was, I mean, there was no concept.
No, we didn't. Well, especially boys. Like, if somebody said to you, like, hey, this is a moisturizer, you'd be like, get that away. What are you doing? Get that away from me. Or, like, even sunscreen felt like a bridge too far.
Didn't do
and
a
you
lot of
worked
sunscreen.
On a mower. You were on a weed eater. Didn't you get just like countless sunburns?
Burns all the time.
Yeah.
Face, no. I mean, I wore a hat.
Yeah.
And I had a
I remember being around you as a young 20-something-year-old, and you always had a red nose, always.
Oh, yeah.
From just being out weed eating on the weekends or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know.
You could even say it glows if you wanted to.
I was trying to get
nobody,
somewhere. Nobody. Sorry. I have been gone.
All of the other weed eaters used to laugh and call you names.
They really did, actually. I got picked on. But, no, it I think about, I don't think I really began to take note of the dangers of skincare until it was probably sixth grade, seventh grade.
This feels like a skincare podcast now. We've got into talk about the dangers of skincare and
your experiences. I went on a vacation with a friend.
Yeah.
And I remember these because this was during the Jordan Barkley NBA Finals.
Okay. That'd be 94.
I went with my friend Ben several times with his family. They were just fantastic. And we were like at Navarre Beach and that sort of area. Uh-huh. And he and I would watch. We'd be there. It feels like we'd watch pretty much the entire NBA Finals. It happened like twice. It was always Jordan versus, you know, whomever.
Right.
And I remember one of those trips, you know, I was, you know, I'm on my own. I'm out here, you know, I'm on this trip without my family and I'm with someone else. And I think that the mom had been like, you should probably put some sunscreen on. I got this. Like, I was just living life, man. Like, I'm going to experience the world. And I have, and I think I see that with teenagers. Like, I have the ability now to affect the world as me.
Yeah.
And to absorb the world for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be great.
And you feel invincible.
Yeah. It's going to be great. Like, I'm in charge.
So you're like, what is sunscreen? It's like Tom Cruise riding his motorcycle without a helmet.
Yeah.
Chasing the plane on the runway. He's like trying to keep speed with it. You're just like, where's his helmet?
Put your helmet on.
Put your helmet on, Tom Cruise.
Because he's really doing that.
But he couldn't. Yeah, but that would mess up the whole shot because, like, the whole point of it is he's a maverick. He's literally Maverick. Like, mavericks don't wear helmets.
I wonder if that's how they stumbled into the writing.
Even in the plane, there are people who talk about that in the sequel where he keeps pulling off his mask.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. You'll pass out. Like
he's in a real F-14.
He's in a pressurized cabin. You can't just be like, I'm going to pull this off. But they needed to be able to see his face for the shot so he can show frustration or show. So he kept doing that. And people who are pilots are like, this is where his lungs would explode or I don't know what would happen. It's like, they're like giving they're giving their plane speak.
I don't really know what happened.
I don't know what happened, but it's not good. He would probably just like lose consciousness, I think.
Well, I think I've maybe fell asleep or something on the beach one day.
Yeah. Oh no. That's the worst.
I had a shirt on, thank God. Yeah. But I had no shoes.
She had little lobster arms. Oh, the feet.
And it burned my feet to an absolute crisp. And for the rest of that, and it was like day one.
Oh, no.
And I had to spend that vacation with my friend and like, bro. Mm-mm. I've had burnt feet probably. Do you say burnt? You probably would just say burned.
Burnt would be like, I think
burnt
of like
is
meat.
Like, I'm getting ribs.
It's like hamburger.
Yeah. Bring me those burnt ends as the appetizer, which is now an appetizer,
by
the way.
You badly burned.
But it was bad.
Maybe burnt is like if something's dead and burned is if it's still alive.
I don't know.
I wonder that, what do we do there? Did
that's
we just,
interesting.
Did we just bring up a little conundrum of the English language?
We just searched the
you never know what we're going to bring up.
Etymological recesses of the podcasting universe.
We did.
But then you're embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because
you can't put a shoe on it because it's just...
Dude, you can't. Like, if you ever had... Like, it was swelling. Like, it was that kind of thing. Like, oozing, swelling. Like, it was bad. It was real bad.
Man.
And, but I had to spend the vacation trying not to look like a baby now because I was like, I am man. And, like, now I'm a little kid. I want my mommy. Like, this hurts so bad.
Right.
And there's... And, of course, his mom was great. But, and they're trying to embarrass you.
Some aloe on it.
Yeah.
Put some...
But even then, it does nothing. Like, a bad burn, you're going to be down for a week and a half at least. I mean, it's going to just hurt. And then it's going to peel. So, after that, the one thing I do, and I just got back from the beach, and I apologize to our listeners.
Yeah. Tell me about your skincare regimen, John.
We do... Guys, I moisturize every morning. We missed a podcast or two in the last few months because as you know, my health crisis, and if you haven't, heard of that whole story, go back
and listen
to talk about that podcast,
hangupandlisten.com. Yeah.
But this time, there was fall break and they moved fall break this year to 10 days instead of 7.
Oh boy. This feels like you went from a health crisis to a wealth crisis. I had to take 10 days.
I'll say this. Since I took 10 days, I am in a wealth crisis.
True. Yeah. You put yourself in a little hole.
Because you can't eat at the beach. You know, right now, we all know about the inflation problem.
Are you going to say, well, I can't just get groceries and put them in the condo?
Well, we would eat sandwiches on the beach and stuff.
Yeah.
But no, Johnny. At night, we must have filet and lobster.
Oh, right. I forgot.
It's a rule. But you can't. You can't go out to eat at the beach for less than $100. I mean, like, it's because we had a friend with us part of the time. So with four of us, that's only $25 a piece, Johnny. Whew. So if you get an appetizer or two,
this is,
or maybe three. I will say this. I have not stepped on a scale before.
Don't do it. No, don't do
or
it.
Or after.
Don't do
but,
it.
But, you know, I had been really good for about 3 months.
Yeah.
Keto. And I did run. Out of the 10 days, I ran like half the time.
As you were doing it, you're preparing your mind for the gluttony that's coming.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
And gluttony did come.
Oh, yeah.
And it may or may not still be here. See, that's the hard part. It's like, look, we're just going to enjoy ourselves. And we did. We start off, like, she brought a couple keto things we might have while we're down there. And by day 0.5, it's like, nope. Because once you start, I mean, you know, like, nope, I'm having that bread, I'm having that fried seafood.
Yeah,
like, you're just going after it, you know. By the end of it, you're eating, you know, key lime pie out of a tin in the bed. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. And it's glorious.
It's like Caligula in there. It's crazy.
I will say, Laura and I have I don't think we came up with this or anything. Obviously, I believe the Hebrews did. Or God did to the Hebrews, but there is a time for feasting and there's
a time for
fasting.
Here we go.
You know, so
that sounds like something somebody that's just going to be really gluttonous says to justify.
Somebody who was being gluttonous did say it and did justify it. But I mean,
guys, there's a time for feasting, and you're like, yeah, and this ain't it, okay?
But there's a time for fasting.
We're in an elevator. Put down. You have a turkey leg in each hand. Look, there's a time and a place for everything under heaven. And could you hit floor 4 for me?
This is that time.
I don't want to put down my sauces.
Now, how does he have a turkey leg in both hand and sauces?
He's holding that between his knees.
You're
in a seated position.
He's holding one of those sets on the wall without a chair.
Yeah.
I would say I probably gained 10 pounds.
No.
I'm not going to measure.
John, you look great.
I'm not going to weigh, but I could tell. I have two pairs of jeans
that
I wear. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that Laura, I'm going to use this term, encouraged me to buy before we went to New York last year for Good Morning America.
That's fine.
So they're nice jeans.
Yeah.
But they're not the Costco jeans I normally get.
No.
You know what I'm saying? One of them
is Costco a brand?
Costco, no, but they carry brands.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But they're not Costco brand jeans.
No.
That'd be.
They have.
You got to buy like 12 pair. I bought a pallet of jeans, sweetheart. Hope these fit.
that's the beauty of Costco. You don't have to try them on.
Yeah.
That's why I buy my clothes
at Costco. But wait a minute. Trying it on helps you because it gives you data that you need that says,
I don't.
Oh, these are a little tight.
I don't want to do that. You know what the beauty of it is? You come home and try them on.
Okay.
And if they don't fit, guess what you get to do? Go back to Costco. Because actually, it's the one place I like to go.
Oh, right.
For shopping.
Get another $1.50 hot dog.
Well,
now all of a sudden, those pants are tight again.
You cannot go to Costco. I call it the Costco toll.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you just go ahead and take $300 minimum for me when we walk in the door?
Yeah. All right. So finish your pants story, though.
So I have two pairs of pants.
Yes.
One's a little tighter than the other. I'll put it that way. I only took the one that's snugger because when I took them, I'd lost about 20 pounds.
Yeah.
And I was doing pretty good, you know. By the end of the vacation, when I actually put on jeans to go out to a nicer restaurant at the end, I was like, wow, I chose poorly on which jeans I should have brought. So that's how I can tell.
Oh, boy.
But I did get some tan. And so if you're tan and you gain weight, it's better, right? I don't know.
Here, so you want to hear my pants story? So
not really.
Okay, so this is weird. And so we didn't. I held on so loosely to this trip to Cancun because the hurricane, the timing of it.
Did your pants hold on loosely to you? That's the question.
Well, that's the real question. So I really didn't even think about, I thought, we're not going to go because we had to cancel it once already because Curry got COVID. So we already moved it again. And I was like, we're going to have to move this trip again. So literally like the day before, I'm like, are we going to go? The weather was like,
yeah, you were like right up to the edge.
So I go, I think we're going. So the flights were already in place and everything, but I was ready to pull the plug on it. And then I just threw a bunch of stuff in a suitcase and we go. And now the last time we went, we stayed at a place where it was like, they had like business casual was like the highest whatever. There were no restaurants in the resort that were like formal.
Yeah.
But I brought a suit coat anyway and I got my black jeans. I'm like, we're good.
Can you say business casual in Spanish?
I cannot.
Okay.
But so I was like, all right, we're fine. But I didn't bring like a suit with me. And so we get there and like one of the restaurants at the resort. Well, this resort's different than the one we stayed at before. It's very like, it's like very luxurious. And so they're like, we meet you at the door and they're like, oh, welcome. But then after a while, I was like, hey, it might be cool to like go into town. Like we could take like a Uber into town. Because there was a bunch of stuff around the resort. And I realized like night one or two, I'm looking at the little card of all the restaurants. There's like five restaurants. And one of them is a French restaurant, which I don't care anything about. But Curry's like, we got to go to the French restaurant. And I go, oh. And it says formal.
Mm.
It says, you know, no jeans. I'm like, now I feel like a little kid.
Yeah.
I'm at prep school. I don't have the right shoes or whatever. Right. And I feel like I'm the poor kid. I'm like, I came here. It's very expensive. I just happen to not bring my slacks with me. I have money. I make money. Mm-hmm. But I have no slacks. So I'm like, and so I go, listen, it's fine. We'll just take one of these. We'll take an Uber to town tomorrow.
I can see you walk in. It's like, hey, look at the new money.
Somebody's got slacks over here. So I'm just feeling so stupid for packing in a hurry and not bringing them. So I'm like, all right, we'll take an Uber into town. We'll go get pants. I found they had a Walmart. I couldn't believe they had a Walmart in Cancun.
They had a Walmart in Cancun.
I go, fine, we'll go. So we take an Uber, and it's like $40 round trip for this dump to go get pants. For a person who has pants, but they're at home. So I'm already...
You're going to Walmart, though.
Yeah, so I'm like...
To get fancy pants.
To get pants that will get me through.
Like, so you understand I can get the my
irony. Wife some, so I'm going to get my wife some French food.
All irony, I'm trying to... No. Go to a fancy French restaurant, and
yeah,
so
but
where
I'm not,
you go to fix the problem
no.
is a $40 Uber ride to a Walmart
yes,
in Cancun.
But she needed other things, too. We needed things like... She needed something... I don't know what else she needed. She needed something for the bathroom or something. Anyway, like
I wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah, some lotions or potions or goos that she gets. So I was like, all right, we'll go. We'll make a. It'll kill two birds.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com. To join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
But the reason I didn't want to go to it, they had nice stores around. They had like, you know, a Brooks Brothers, but I'm not going to go buy a $150 pair of pants so I can have a French meal that I'm not going to like. You know, they're going to try to serve me snail so I can make my wife happy. And I've had to pay. You know what I'm saying? That's a lose-lose.
Whatever experience you did have, you are ruining it for her right now.
Yes.
She thinks that it was the best meal ever. Like, no, you made me eat snails to make
no,
her
no, no,
happy.
It was actually very good. The meal was good. All the meals were good.
Nice save.
But there was one thing they gave us, though, and it was like, I said, this looks like, I said, I'm not even, it was like a little, like, what do they call it? A amuse-bouche.
Yeah.
So they give
perfect
it to
bite,
us.
Right?
And I'm like, it's a little pre-meal thing. And I'm like, I'm not, it was a little tiny look like a little ice cream cone thing.
Yeah.
And it's like this savory whatever. And I think she said later it was goose liver. It's like foie gras. It's some kind of thing. She goes, you would not have liked. I go, what was it? I gave her mine. She goes, it was a lot like cat food. And I go, okay. So I made the right call. So anyway.
How did, okay.
But anyway, so we're there. We're at Walmart. And they have these pants. And I'm assuming sizes. I'm like, I think there's no changing room. And I get these pants. And there's no hem in the pants. They're just ragged at the bottom. And I think that's just what they do. Like, you just hem them to whatever length you want.
You mean so like there's just like string?
They're just string hanging off the bottom of these pants. And I'm like, this is already so good.
I don't think that was a Walmart.
I don't know where I was at.
There's got to be a global standard here on Walmart.
So there wasn't. And so I'm thinking, and I'm not trying to besmirch Mexico's pants policies. I'm just saying these pants were not done. They were not completed. And I'm like, okay. But I knew they were long enough because they were like made extra long. So I was like, these actually might be 34s. They might be long enough. Because I technically have a 36 inseam. I was like, these might be long enough to get through. I can put these pants on.
What did you do? Like get safety pins and...
No.
You just wore them with the threads hanging?
No, worse than that. I get them back to the hotel. They're tight. Oh. They're like, I can fit in them. But it is a biscuit can situation. And I'm thinking, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to just like hold in my gut the whole meal to get through. So like by day four, by the time we went to the restaurant, I was noticing like other people going in, they had like black jeans on. Or I was noticing like some people who are wearing like suits, but they're wearing tennis shoes with them.
Because
That's the way people do it now. They're like, oh, these are my suit shoes. And you're like, Those are Adidas.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can get through. So I put on my dark black jeans, black dress shirt, black coat. So I had like the full-on Johnny Cash look. And we went, we ate our French food. Nobody said a word to me.
Well, a coat fixes everything.
And then at the end, it does. That's what I felt. And so by the end, I had these Walmart slacks just sitting on the dresser folded neatly. And Kurt goes, what are you going to do with those? I go, there's no reason to bring them home. These are not. And they're very stiff, too, and starchy. They were just not.
Well, you could get back in the Uber.
And do, go take them back
right.
with my receipt and get my 200 pesos back.
So say refund in pesos.
I decided to leave them there.
You donated them.
I donated those. I paid it forward. Somebody out there.
Someone out there came in the room and was like, these are the ugliest pants I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I see why.
They chased me down.
Do not leave
them. Senor, your pants! It was weird, though. Even when they came to me in the lobby... We were waiting for the Uber, and they come over. Like, there's people. There's concierge people and guest relations people. And they come over, and they kind of go. Because you're waiting in the area, this gigantic lobby. But you don't really wait there unless you're checking in. So when you're waiting there, they come over, and they go, can we help you? And I go, we're waiting on an Uber. And they go, where are you taking an Uber? And I go, we're going into town. We're going to Walmart. And they go, what are you getting? It's like they kept questioning me. And it made me feel like very self-conscious. Like they were like, why would you leave? Why would you leave this? And it felt so odd. So I told them and then they were like, no, what you have is fine. And I was like, well, I just don't want to make a big thing. I don't want to like be stopped at the door.
Yeah, they weren't going
to have
stop
to go
you.
Back to my room and wait. My wife goes, I'm going to have French food and you're going to
you're going to get
sit alone in the hot tub. So anyway, it was weird, but that was the only like awkward. But again, you feel like a little kid. You're like, I didn't bring the right pants. I guess you just feel stupid, but it happens.
Isn't it funny how shame brings you back to another age
yeah.
so quickly?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a there is I know in the therapy world that's a real thing. I mean, like that there's generally a point of shame if it's a repetitive feeling of yours comes back to. Something,
yeah,
some place inside of you where you were an age, and usually I know my friend says between 8 and 12,
yeah,
somewhere in there, 8 and 12, which is I would go as high to me, it's more like 9 and 15,
yeah, like doing the wrong thing socially is a big trigger thing. Like, My brother used to always say that. He would see something crazy in a restaurant, and he'd be like, you got to look at this. Look at this. And I couldn't just jerk my head around and stare.
Yeah.
Because I'm afraid the person's going to be looking right at me.
Yeah.
So maybe that's just I'm more polite than my brother. We could say that. But but there's a thing of I don't want to be breaking some weird social construct.
Right.
Like if you sneak down to the better seats halfway through the show because you can, right, because nobody showed up for that, those seats. You're always afraid the usher is, and you feel like a kid. Like if you get told, go back to your crappy seats,
yeah,
you feel like a 12-year-old again.
We watched a grandmother and two, I guess probably 12-year-old, look like grandchildren with her at the St. Louis game, the one where we watched Pujols hit 696, I think.
Okay, so he wasn't at 700
yet. And he won the game, basically.
Yeah, I remember this. We talked about this.
But we watched that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the grandmother seemed like, oh, no big deal. They came and got her. Or they didn't come and get her. Not the ushers, but someone came for their seats.
Oh, yeah.
And she had intentionally tried to get to better seats. But before the game really started.
Right.
Which, you don't do that. You wait. And we were down, you know, close. But yeah, there's that feeling of, I wish I was a person like her who wasn't embarrassed by that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing for me. I'd be like, I'd never do that because it breaks some sort of rule.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm exposed as not knowing what to do or not having.
Yeah. I get embarrassed on behalf of other people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You and I both do that.
Like, I'll try to cover for them to make it easier for them to not have as embarrassing a moment.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I look at people who don't get embarrassed easily. You know, Laura's one of those people. She's a two, which means she's a helper, which means, I mean, like, she's everybody's person when they need something.
And
we used to get in arguments early in marriage because, like, and you were around for all of this because I know you longer than her. You were a youth leader. She also was more likely in those days. Way, she doesn't do that anymore. But she would just say, it's when her eight part comes out. She would just kind of, something, you know, that goes wrong.
Yeah.
And she'd be mad at me and say something to me in front of all y'all, all the youth leaders or something.
Oh, right.
And I'd be like, to me, that is the worst case scenario. Like,
yeah.
The issue was really small, and she and I have always argued well.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with arguing. I preferred it.
But you're afraid to have a public argument because you're afraid, like, now every concurrent scene is viewed with that lens from the other people who saw that.
I don't know if I ever worried about that it made, and that's what always make, and I bet listeners could probably identify with this because I hear this a lot when we do, you know, any sort of marriage thing. I would be like, hey, don't talk to me like that in front of everybody.
Yeah.
That's kind of the gist of it, you know? And she'd be like, you care too much what people think, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing to say to somebody like me.
Right.
Now I'm really mad. And it's no longer over the issue.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what the issue is.
Now everybody cares what people think, though. That's the truth of it.
But it's like now I was ashamed in the first place. And she wasn't trying to shame. That's what we had to learn over the years. Like, but I was like, and you don't? Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you don't have any. And of course, we all do. And so I was being too sensitive, and she was being too strong. That's what, you know, we learned.
Right, there's a balance to be struck.
As you go with that. I also learned that it's good.
Now she shames you in private.
Right.
That's great.
Only in private does she.
That is such growth.
But I actually came to the place where, hey, it's okay for Laura and I to disagree in front of people to a limit. Actually, it's probably healthy, especially for the kids around us, to know, like, hey, real marriages have.
Well, that thing of embarrassment, I notice all my friends with kids, because I've seen them have kids, and I noticed that it does peel away some of that idea of embarrassment in public. It's just going to happen. Kids are going to run around crazy in a restaurant.
Yeah.
They're going to melt down in church, and you have to let that part of yourself go that is too precious about that.
We probably could have done better. We were never the people, for whatever reason. Like, we didn't take Sadie to a restaurant till she was able to sit through a meal.
Yeah.
When she was real little, you put them in a car. I mean, like, newborns, like, carrying a suitcase.
I remember her saying that one time. I remember Laura saying that, like, we're not going to do this to the other people in the restaurant.
It's
not fair to them.
We had just for years been around kids and people, and it was...
I want to say I appreciate it.
It was going to... It wasn't about ruining just their time. It was a...
Yeah.
This will... we will not, and I think that's the helper in Laura.
Yeah.
You know, and then the loyalist in me is like, I'm not going to be content if I'm making everyone else's experience miserable, even if they don't say anything.
Right.
I'm going to have a now, if I have no choice, we're on an airplane or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what it
that's
is.
That's fine. But if I have a choice, I'm going to make a choice to make this,
right.
You know,
so
easier.
For the first 5 years, you fed her through a hole in the door. And that's the policy. It's not for everybody.
It's not.
But that's how you raise your daughter.
And I stand by the...
The results are there.
I mean, she's doing great. No, I don't know where that. I don't know. I don't know where that. Like, I do think just getting older, maybe not just having kids.
Yeah,
yeah. There is a sense of like, it's so funny with Sadie. Like, I remember being this way as a kid. If we have to have a real conversation, she's worried about who's listening.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I'm that way.
Could be on a beach in front of, you know, there's 2,000 people and there's radios going and conversations going everywhere. And,
yeah.
And it's, you know, she's looking around and it's like, and I actually told her on the beach one day, like, hey, I remember being a kid and feeling this way, but nobody's listening.
Yeah.
And nobody cares.
Right. People care about themselves. They don't care about your story.
I mean, unless we're just making a huge scene or something.
Yeah.
But as loud as I might raise my voice, I don't have a very loud voice, you know.
Like, yeah.
You know, we're not going to have a freak out.
Do you eavesdrop? Do you ever eavesdrop?
If you're loud enough for me to eavesdrop, then yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that does to me, like, we had, it was funny.
Curry's a big-time eavesdropper in restaurants. She loves it. Like, well, I know, it's like, she'll get quiet, and I'll be talking, and then she'll be talking back and forth with me, and then she'll get quiet, and I'll be like, oh, she's listening to the booth behind us, because she'll get a smirk on her face like, these people. And she'll just be so entertained by it.
I do get entertained if it's, Laura and I have a whole unspoken, like, we can speak many sentences just with our eyes, you know, of what's going on around us.
That's beautiful.
Us. Guys. That's that kind of poetic, doesn't it?
It does, except it's like, you're crapping on other people with your eyes. we can speak with our eyes. What are you speaking? I don't know, sarcastic stuff about other people.
That guy's an idiot. What a jerk.
Can you believe this guy? I love you so much.
We speak that too.
Yeah.
But no, I think you just, I do get embarrassed for others. She doesn't, but I do. I'll get embarrassed for them. Like, man, that's a, we also listen for accents. That's the other big thing. When you're a Southerner, and you're still in the South, and there is a glaring, I'm not going to say, and by the way, Laura's reading a fascinating book right now. And it's, I think I just said Laura. It's Laura. She hates Laura. I never say that. I didn't mean to. I have a little fever blister from the sun. So sorry, honey.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. My words were slurred. Laura.
He had his calf or his foot frozen today.
Boy, I did. And so, as it were, it's not a euphemism for anything. And if you're in the South and you hear, you know, what the book she's reading is about, it's called American Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the actual history, and it divides up the country into regions that we don't name.
Yeah.
Like, instead of just saying, oh, it's North and South, and it's, you know, Mason-Dixon line, all that, like, actually there's all kinds of other things going on, super, super
right.
fascinating.
There's layers.
Within that, if you hear certain, again, I don't want to offend any listeners, so I'm going to be careful here.
Here we go.
But you hear an accent that is obviously not anywhere near the South.
Yeah.
And possibly not even the Midwest. Like, we're going into other areas. That's when Laura and I will look at each other, like,
yeah,
because it's just fascinating to us.
Like a Boston accent. New York accent.
Yeah, and if it's super loud.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just, like, it's a cultural thing to go, you rarely hear. Now, I will hear some Alabama friends. There is a distinctive Alabama accent.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. My Alabama friends will say things like, carry me on up to the Walmart.
Yeah.
Like, we would never say that in Tennessee. We'd say, take me to the Walmart.
Yeah.
Right?
Or tote me. Can you tote me over to... I've had people say tote me before.
Did they say tote?
Oh, yeah, tote. I don't think it's an Alabama thing, but I've heard tote.
Carry me, though, is a
maybe
thing.
That's an Appalachian thing.
I carried him over to the school. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's a real Alabama thing. I've heard people say in the South, you know, like, I seen you. You know,
yeah.
I seen you on TV, you know, kind of thing. They leave off the so, but there are, Laura and I will notice when the accents are not what we're used to. Like, I can handle
it. Well, they notice us, too, believe me.
No. we don't have accents.
We get noticed. Yeah. I think my accent, I don't know, I think I've been told before that I don't have a strong Southern accent, but I definitely, when I do my show, I think I pour it on a little thicker, and I think I can vary the intensity depending on the audience.
See,
you can tell if they're really, really, whatever they need, I think. I don't know what it is. I don't know why I'm doing it. Maybe it's my own self-consciousness doing it, but I think I definitely, a Southern accent can be funny in a joke, and so sometimes you can just throttle it up a little bit if it feels.
You do, especially when you go into a character. You don't do a lot of characters, but you do have like reactive characters.
Yeah.
Like you'll be, it's not a person you've named, but it's a, even when you do your accent
it's
joke.
It's an untold
your
Appalachian person.
So precious you do that and you do another voice, you know?
Right.
But I've noticed that your professional accent is different than your performing accent.
Interesting.
Like your voicemail is very, like you sound like you could be on the news.
Oh, yeah.
There's no accent there. You're like.
Well, that's just me being self-conscious.
Hey, this
probably.
Is Johnny. Like, it's a real, everything's wide open and not Southern, you know?
Oh, wow.
And it's very like, oh, okay. He's a comic for the whole nation is what I, every time I hear your voicemail, which is a lot because you filter my calls. But every time there's like, man, this guy really, he really is taking the world
by storm. Who's listening to voicemails anymore? Are people leaving voicemails?
No, I never leave you a voicemail. Yeah.
There's no reason.
Occasionally,
anymore.
But very rare. I'll just hear it. But. You would never say, "Hey, this is John." Like you're more open, and I'm impressed. It's not a bad thing.
Hey, can I say something about phone etiquette that we need to move on from? This is not a pet peeve. It's just one of those things. Like I noticed about myself.
Is this like correcting me with etiquette?
It's correcting the world,
but me in it.
We know who's calling now. Okay.
Right.
So when you pick up the phone, if it says Johnny is calling, just go, "Hey, ma'am." There's a 0.00000001% chance that someone has taken my phone and called you. But everybody else, every other percentage, every other option is going to be me. So don't pick up the phone when I call you and go, "Hello?" Stop saying hello. It's me. There's no need to say hello. Just start talking to Johnny. You see what I'm saying? Because that happened to me. Like, there's a friend of mine. He called me and I go, "Hello?" He goes, "Do you have caller ID?" I go, he goes, "It's me. What are you doing?" And I realized he's right. We all still say hello like we're picking up a handset in the 1950s with the curly cord. We know who it is.
I think this is a strange thing to be up in arms about.
I'm not up in arms, but I just think it's interesting that we still do the unnecessary. We're still saying, it's like when somebody calls a radio show and they go, "You're on," and they go, "Hello? Can you guys hear me?" "Yeah, we can hear you. How you guys doing?" "We're good."
Yeah.
The reason I was calling, you just wasted so much time. People are driving off into guardrails. Just go, "I hate the Lakers." But whatever you want to talk about. Don't call a sports talk show and ask how they're doing.
Yeah.
It's totally wasted space. So don't say hello. Listen, if I call you today, anybody listening to this show, if I call you from now on and you say hello, I'm hanging up the phone. I'm over it. I'm tired of it.
You heard it here, folks. Johnny's changing the world.
Say hello if I walk up to you. Hello.
But I'm not going to say that if you walk up to me.
That's right. You don't even do it then.
I do say, "Hey, bro."
There you go.
But what's the difference?
Say the thing that like we would say to each other.
If we were really talking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't say hello like you.
Like you walk up and I go, "I hate the Lakers."
When you say hello, you're going, "This might be a bill collector." No, you know who it is.
Now, there is a chance that they didn't look at the caller ID. Sometimes... It's rare.
Come on, man.
In the professional
world.
We're
trying to move on as a culture, and you won't let us. I'm not really upset, but I'm sort of upset.
just a little bit.
Yeah.
That's interesting. There is such thing as etiquette, though.
Like, yeah, but I think that's like an old etiquette that's like retained, but it's like we don't need it anymore.
Yeah, but you don't get to decide.
Yeah, but I think it'll work its way out. Like, I think eventually it's like people don't leave voicemails anymore. They just text you.
Yeah.
Like, eventually people are going to stop saying hello when they pick up the phone. And I want to be the person that helps push it ever forward.
Yeah, John. Out of all the things you could push forward, this is what you chose?
I want to push other things forward.
We need you in some other areas.
Do you think? Yeah. I don't feel very needed. I feel very unnecessary these days.
That's interesting. I haven't really thought about it. I know Laura, because she's on professional calls. all day. She will say, "This is Laura," you know, when she answers. Hello,
that's
this
okay.
Is Laura, you know.
This is Laura. Hey, that's okay.
You know,
but.
And I imagine she probably knows who it is when she calls, but there's still a professional.
But she wouldn't say, "This is Laura," if she knew it was you.
No, that'd be weird.
She'd be like,
actually, sometimes she does.
She might say, "Hey, sweetie." But, like, what are the odds that it's going to be like, "This is, I found John's phone. You don't you feel stupid? This isn't John at all." Like, that's really the scenario that you're, when you say hello, when you say hello to a friend who's called you and you see their name on the screen, that's the scenario you're imagining. What if it's not
but
John?
See, I could see a whole backlash to this.
Yeah.
Of a society that already has lost so much of its
courteous. I'm not saying don't greet them. I'm saying greet them in a friendly way that you would already, like if I saw you on the street, don't greet me with a hello like it could be,
but let's be
you
honest,
know,
Johnny,
Discover card calling for your payment.
We live in a town where we're never going to see each other in the street. It's not like this is New York. We're driving around Mount Juliet, just going from restaurant to restaurant and Walmart to Academy Sports.
Yeah.
That whole
to buy slacks, you got a hem.
What am I going
to
see you on the streets at all? The streets of Mount Juliet, or the street? Listen, I don't like that expression,
and I
would kindly ask you to stop using it.
From the streets,
or on the streets,
or on the
now
streets.
When you're in New York,
yeah,
absolutely, we might see.
And
you
really, even then, you're in the sidewalk. You're not on the street.
Yeah, if you're in the street in New York,
that's
you're
bad.
Already in trouble.
You're getting honked at.
Right. I wonder if they say hello in New York.
They don't.
I just
honking is their hello.
I did hear someone honk the other day. Because we were in Florida driving around, and you could tell, because most, all of us there are not from Florida for the most part. And I could tell who was from, like.
Oh, yeah, people that moved there for the warm winters and stuff.
And they're like honking, and the rest of the Southerners are like, we only honk when there's a major emergency.
Right. We don't do this here.
Like, if I honk at you, like, it took a lot.
You're almost about to hit my car if I honked at you.
Yeah, I only used the horn like I did it yesterday. Someone came over into my lane, mm-hmm. and it was a very polite honk. Like, it was a real quick one. You know, it wasn't like, and if I lay on it, I'm mad. Like, now you put my family in danger, and I'm letting you have it. But, horn etiquette.
When I call you, that's what I want you to say from now on. When I call you, I want you to pick up and go, "You've put my family in danger, and I'm letting you have it." I have a certain set of skills.
Our texting and calling, our texting especially, it's always funny. You rarely ever get me anymore.
Yeah.
But there are times you just drop absurd.
Yeah.
Like I'll ask, "Hey, man, we meeting at 9? And immediately you'll fire back with something, and I'm not going to say what it is, which is something completely absurd. And I laugh hard. Like, it's always a surprise.
Well,
it's,
I've told you about the time when this was like, I'd been doing comedy a year and a half or something, and I did this show on New Year's Eve, and it was in Wichita, Kansas. And the guy goes, "Hey, it's at midnight tonight, it's the big show," or it's like 11 or something, "and then we'll have the countdown and we'll watch the ball drop with this comedy show." I go, "Cool." So I get there early in the day. So now I have this time to kill. So I go to sleep. I just take a nap in the hotel. And he goes, "We'll send some guy to pick you up," which I never did. I don't do that now. I just rent a car because it's just, you never know what you're going to get. But back then I was like, sure, a free ride. I was only making a few $100. I was like, this will help me have a better profit margin. This guy calls. He texts me. And he goes, "There'll be a car to come get you. I can't come get you. I'm stuck here at the event." He was like one of the pastors. "But I'll send him to get you. He'll be driving a maroon Crown Victoria." And I said, I'm half asleep because I just woke up from my nap. So I just saw this text and I text him back, "Cool, no cops or I kill a hostage." Because it's just so funny to say, like, he'll be driving a whatever. It's like he'll be wearing a red carnation or whatever. And he did not respond. And now I'm like, oh no, I've got to do a show for this person. He's offended.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like freaking out.
Wow.
You know, because I mean, again, so that social cue of being a kid, I mean, like, oh, I've gone too far. Now I'll never have any friends or whatever. And I'm freaking out. So I go to the show and he's there and I go and I'm like watching for any social cues of like, is he mad? Is he like a little bit perturbed at my, he goes, "Hey man, they want to do a quick sound check and then we're ready to go." And I go, cool. And then I did the show. I didn't say anything.
I did the show.
I was trying to wait till after I had done well at the show. And the show went really well, thank God. And then I got done. And so then I go, he goes, "Man, what a great job." And I go, "Hey, I texted you earlier. Did you get my text?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, I got it." I go, "Well, you didn't respond." And I just thought, did I upset him? And he goes, No. I was just real busy. And I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, okay, well, that's all right. And John, I did it again. I did it like 2 years later.
To the same guy?
To another person, I thought, I want to try it out again. I want to take this joke for a test drive. Again, the person did not respond. So this joke's 0 for 2, basically.
Don't do it.
Don't just listen.
It's always too
don't
soon.
Don't threaten to kill a hostage in a text message, even if you're kidding.
Guys,
if you're not kidding, just don't do it. That's a bad life.
Right.
Don't be killing hostages.
Right.
Don't but even if you're kidding and it's obvious you're kidding, it's a weird text.
Right. To a stranger. Johnny has yet to send this to someone who's not a stranger. That's the other part that you would think did not happen.
Yeah.
I mean,
when you call my cell phone now, if I know it's you, I'm going to answer with that instead of hello. I'm going to be like, no cops right here. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So, and you know what, listener? We'd love to hear from you as well.
We feel like we've held you hostage for the last 45 plus minutes, and we're sorry.
But you, if you enjoyed your time in captivity, you could always go over to our website.
TalkAboutThatPodcast.com. Over 200 archived episodes for your listening enjoyment. You can even go to click on our Patreon page there. Our link trees are there if you want to click in. Patreon, kick in a few shekels. We'd appreciate that. That helps us make more content, buy new gear and all that good stuff. We have a cool announcement coming up in that world.
Yeah,
we feel like the audience is getting ready to just explode here soon, we hope. We're pensive.
Yeah.
We're not trying to be.
No.
You know, we know who we are.
Our expectations
And we know
are,
who we're not, John.
I don't think we know who we're not. That's the problem.
Anyway, if you're out there and you want to do that, that's great. If you don't, listen, continue mooching off the show. We don't care. No. It doesn't bother us.
Not
but
at
we
all.
Do.
We wouldn't even mention it.
We do appreciate our patrons, and we're working on some new things for our patrons, actually, working on some special benefits for them. So if you want to be in that number when the Saints go marching in, go ahead and click in there. But also, you can click on our link trees, find all of our cool links, follow me on social media, follow John, and learn about all of his new book projects coming out. You just had a book drop this week, you said.
So new book a couple weeks ago, More Than Your Number by Beth and Jeff McCord. Great, great book. Go check it out. It's an Enneagram book, but it's for those who maybe are curious about the Enneagram or even skeptical, some might say. Go check it out. And then a new book dropped today called Born for Rescue by Pat Bradley. Amazing. Some of the most amazing stories I've ever had the honor of helping to write. Of his just journey around the world. He runs an organization called Crisis Aid.
Mm-hmm.
They're like the first on the ground often in major world crises, whether it's natural disaster or war. Just a lot of amazing stories. Excited to see that book come out. So that's called Born for Rescue. You can get it on Amazon. It dropped today.
Nice.
When I say go today, actually, this will be airing later. So
yeah, go do that.
No, actually, this will
be today.
Damn.
So go do that and leave a review. That helps other people find it and all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, we appreciate the time you gave to us today. It was so much fun. Glad to be back with you. We'll see you again next week on
Talk About That.
Hi, I'm Zach.
And I'm Randy.
And we're from Salty Saints Podcast. We're a theology and apologetics podcast.
To find out more, subscribe at lifeaudio.com.